This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Once again, I want to thank God for each of you here at BPN. I want to thank God for our dear friend and Pastor Dale and his beautiful wife, Jean Gentry, for again, here in the year of 2019, being so gracious to allow us to minister here to you at BPN Radio. Also, if any of you are interested in our podcast, please contact Rick Gentry, BPNRadio@gmail.com, or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707. I want to talk to you today coming out of the book of 2 Thessalonians. Those of you that have your Bible, if you would turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to minister verses 3 through 12. I want to title this message today, Living by Faith in Future Grace. Now, the last time I preached on this text, little did I know that I was uncovering in verses 11 and 12 the foundations of what would become one of our most practical and important theological trademarks, namely living by faith and in future grace. So what I would like to do is summarize these two verses and then flesh out what it means to live by faith in future grace and how faith in future grace becomes the conduit of God's power into your life. Now, let's read again verses 11 and 12. It says at this end, that is, so that you will marvel at Christ when he comes again. We always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good, or good resolve and even work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are eight absolutely critical things to see in Paul's prayer. And one is the calling of God. Now, first, there is the calling of God. According to verse 11, it says that our God may make you worthy of his calling. This calling is our glorious destiny in God's kingdom and glory. You see, that's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12. We charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom of glory. You see, your calling is to be in the kingdom of God and to share the glory of God, as we will see in just a moment. Being made worthy, there's our being made worthy of God's calling. In verse 11, it says that our God may make you worthy of his calling. Being made worthy doesn't mean being made deserving. It means being made suitable or fitting or appropriate because of the work of another. So we would say, I need to fix up this room because the governor is coming to stay with us and the room needs to be worthy of his dignity. You see, it needs to be fitting, suitable, appropriate. Now, he didn't decide to come because the room is beautiful. The room should be made beautiful because he is coming. So we are being made suitable for our calling into God's kingdom and glory. And third is the fulfillment of God's resolve. You see, there is the fulfillment of God's resolve. And in verse 11, it says that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good. You see, the Christian life is a resolving, planning, purposing, intending life. We have minds and wills, and God expects that we will use them to form resolve and plans and purposes according to his will. So these resolves ought to be fulfilled. But the question is how? Fulfilled by God's power. That's the fourth thing, by the power of God. Verse 11 says that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. You see, if our resolve were fulfilled by our power, we would get the glory. But it will be plain in just a moment that God intends to get the glory for the fulfillment of our good resolve. So he fulfills them by his power, not ours. So our duty is to tap into his power. So how do we do this? Well, that's the fifth thing, by faith. See, again, verse 11 says that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. You see, when God fulfills a resolve for good, it becomes a work of faith because the means by which we receive the power to fulfill the resolve, turn it into a deed, is faith. So the deed of the work or the act is called a work of faith or a deed of faith or an act of faith. So from God's side, the resolve became a deed by God's power. And from our side, the resolve became a deed by faith. Faith in that power. You see, by faith, we trust God for the power to fulfill the resolve, and by that power, through that faith, the resolve became a deed or work, a work of faith. You see, this sin was defeated. This righteousness was performed. So we say, why? Because we look away from ourselves to God and all his powerful effects in our lives. You see, Jesus is glorified. And when we understand that God fulfills our resolve by his power through our faith, so that the name of Jesus gets glory. So the sixth thing to see in this text is that the name of Jesus is glorified when God's power fulfills our resolves and through faith turns them into deeds. Verse 12 says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. You see, that is God fulfills our resolve by his power through our faith so that the name of Jesus gets glory. This assumes that the power of God is coming to us because of Jesus. Because Jesus has died for us, God's power is now not against us, but for us. So when that power enables us to turn our resolve into deeds of love, Jesus and the Father gets the glory. That brings us to our seventh. We are glorified in him. Not only is Jesus glorified in us, but we are glorified in him. See, verse 12 says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. In other words, as Jesus glorifies himself in purchasing the power of God to be made worthy of our calling, we too are being glorified. And the day will come when that slow process in this world will be completed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be saved to sin no more. This is the calling for which we are being made worthy, suitable for. You see, it's all of grace. All of this process of being made worthy of our calling and fulfilling our good resolve and doing good works by faith in God's power is according to the grace of our God and the love of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 12 says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all of grace. The power of God that comes to us moment by moment, fulfilling our resolve and works of faith, is the power of grace. Now, the eight pieces in summary, let me just put the eight pieces together in the order that they actually work. You see, Paul ended with the foundation of everything, the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's start with the foundation and build the structure of the Christian life with these eight pieces. And if you are a Christian, this is your life. Everything starts with and is built on the grace of God. That grace is expressed in God's power toward his children. You see, the end of verse 11, by his power, that gracious power which God exerts toward his children is appropriate, received, tapped into my faith. The way we experience the power of God is by trusting him to be for us everything we need, so that good resolve becomes deeds of faith. The effect of this power, as we trust him for it, is to fulfill our resolve for good and turn them into acts, deeds, which he calls works of faith. You see, thus the life of the Christian is lived by faith. Christianity is not a willpower religion. We will things, we resolve, we plan, we form purposes, but as we engage our wills to act, we look to God and we treasure him. We love him. We trust him that the power will be given to fulfill the resolve. Now, a panorama of the Christian life. In this way, then we are made worthy of our calling. You see, a life of God-dependent obedience is a life fitting or appropriate or suitable for our calling into God's kingdom and glory. And this being made worthy is the first stage in our being fully glorified in Christ and Christ being fully glorified through us. So when you stand back and look at these two verses, they are an amazing panorama of the Christian life and of the meaning of existence. Everything flows from the free grace of God in Christ, and everything is moving toward the fullest glory of God in us and through us. And between the foundation of grace and the goal of glory, there is the power of grace daily arriving in our lives through faith, turning daily resolves and plans and purposes into deeds of faith and fitting us for glory. It is also a power from God that acts in our lives, make good things happen in us and for us. So you see, Paul says that we fulfill our resolve for good by his power, according to verse 11. And then he adds at the end of verse 12, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that power that actually works in our lives to make Christian, to make Christ exalting obedience possible is an extension of the grace of God. And you can see this also in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. Says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. And on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So, you see, grace is an active, present, transformative, obedience, enabling power. Therefore, this grace which moves in power from God to you at a point in time is both past and future. It has already done something for you or in you, and therefore is past. And it is about to do something in you and for you, and so it is future, both 5 seconds away and 5 million years away. God's grace is ever cascading over the waterfall of the present form, the inexhaustible river of grace coming to us from the future into the ever-increasing reservoir of grace in the past. In the next 5 minutes, you will receive sustaining grace flowing to you from the future, and you will accumulate another 5 minutes' worth of grace in the reservoir of the past. You see, we're looking at gratitude and faith. You see, the proper response to grace that you have experienced in the past is gratitude, a profoundly humble and transforming spirit in itself. And the proper response to grace promised to you in the future is faith. So we are thankful for past grace, and we are confident in future grace. This is where I get the idea of faith in future grace. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. We fulfill our good resolve by the power of grace arriving second by second as we trust God for it on the basics of Christ's work. So you see, to trust in past grace means to draw from it confident in future grace. And so we live in those moments by faith in the constant arrival of future grace. It is not wrong to say that we trust in past grace, like the grace God showed us at the cross and in our new birth. But what we mean by that is we believe that because of these acts of past grace, the cross and the new birth, a river of future grace will never, ever stop flowing to us for all eternity. So I just read that Christ is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them, according to Hebrews 7 and 25. Christ died for us and he lives for us. And because his death is all purchasing and his life is all providing, grace will never stop flowing to us. And therefore, to trust in past grace means to draw from it confident in future grace. So, even though our faith is found on decisive acts of past redeeming grace, the way faith works moment by moment to turn our resolve for good into deeds of purity and love, patience and kindness, meekness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control is by looking up and forward to the boundless fountain of grace that comes to us through a river of promises for every moment of the day. We live by faith in the ever-arriving power of future grace. So we have to be satisfied with all his promises. And here's another aspect of this theological trademark. When we speak of faith, faith in future grace, we mean being satisfied with all that God promises to be for us in Christ. Jesus said, according to John 6 and 35, he says, whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, believing in me means receiving me as the satisfier of that thirst of your soul. Being satisfied with all that God promises to be for us in Christ. You see, faith is not only a serious accent to the truth of God's promises, it is also a satisfying embrace of Christ in those promises. When Paul says, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, according to Philippians 3 and 8, he means that moment by moment, in every situation, Christ satisfies. I've learned in whatever situation I'm in, Paul said, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing penalty, of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, according to Philippians 4, 11 through 13. You see, Paul is content. He's satisfied in every circumstance. How is this? Because he has learned a secret. What's that secret? He's learned to trust him for moment by moment, strengthening. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, the future grace of all that God is for me in Christ, arriving every moment of my life, in every circumstance, for every need, is enough. It satisfies. I am content. That is what we mean by faith in future grace. So when Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12 that God fulfills our good resolve by his power through our faith, according to his grace, he means that we defeat sin and we do righteousness by faith in future grace. That is, by being satisfied with all that God promises to be for us in Christ in the next 5 minutes, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, 5 decades, 5 centuries, and 5 million ages of ages. Let me get a sixth example. If you set your heart to give sacrificially and generously, the power of God to fulfill this resolve will come to you as you trust his future grace in this promise. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 4:19. In other words, this is promise. This promise, whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, according to 2 Corinthians 9:6. And this promise, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, according to 2 Corinthians 9:8. You see, if you set your heart to return God, to return good for evil, the power of God to fulfill this resolve will come to you as you trust his future grace in this promise. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, according to Matthew 5:11-12. So if you set your heart to renounce pornography, the power of God to fulfill this resolve will come to you as you trust his future grace in this promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, according to Matthew 5:8. You see, it is better that you tear out your eye than that your whole body be thrown into hell, according to Matthew 5:29. Much better, wonderfully better, all satisfyingly better. And if you set your heart to speak out of Christ when the opportunity comes, the power of God to fulfill this resolve will come to you as you trust his future grace in this promise. Do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour, according to Matthew 10:19. And if you set your heart to risk your life by ministering to the needy in a dangerous place, the power of God to fulfill this resolve will come to you as you trust his future grace in this promise. To live is Christ, and to die is gain, according to Philippians 1:21. You see, don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered, according to Matthew 10:28-30. So if you set your heart to invite some for thanksgiving, who cannot repay you? The power of God to fulfill this resolve will come to you as you trust his future grace in this promise. You will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just, according to Luke 14:13-14. So may God increase our daily faith in this inexhaustible, blood-bought, Christ-exalting future grace. Let us pray. Father, bless us and protect us. Lord, smile on us and be gracious to us. Show us your favor. Give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. www.preachinsundaypodcast.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.